Hey, Marvel Maniacs, welcome to another exciting episode of Guardians of the MCU. This is episode number 133, and we are recording this on January 5th, 2021. I'm Tim, and joining me tonight are a whole slate of hosts. They're going to introduce themselves and tell us what they what they're watching right now. Go.
I'm Sheba, and I'm supposed to be finishing season 4 of Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, but I took a break to watch some, to listen to a podcast about crime, like murder mysteries stuff. So,
Okay.
That's what I'm doing, listening and kind of watching, I guess.
Who's next?
Liz, you know I do ladies first. Go.
Oh, well, okay. Hi, I'm Lizzie, and I don't know, but what have I been watching? Well, I watched Bridgerton, and I'm thinking of watching it again.
That's a good plan.
Oh, Lord. Okay. I also was thinking of rewatching Peaky Blinders, because I freaking love that show. And I don't mean freaking.
I got to continue that. I got a couple episodes in a long time ago. I got to continue that.
Me too.
I know. Oh my God. It's very good. I've watched it all the way through twice, and it's so good, and I think I might watch it again.
Nice.
But also, I don't know what else I've watched. I've been reading a lot.
Reading is good.
And that's it.
And behind door number 3?
Hello, I'm John. I would say splitting time between we slash me are trying to finally get caught up on This Is Us. I'm still in season 3 because I went on a hiatus during season 1 and now finally feel ready that I can continue the show. And then also I'm about 3 episodes into the current season of Cobra Kai.
Okay.
That's 2 things.
Which
that I
landed heard. Early, right? It came out early.
I think so, yeah. The problem is like because it's Netflix, everything got dropped at once. So half my like news feeds that I use for this show and just entertainment is like all spoilers about what happens in the season. I'm like, cool, people, I didn't want to know. Yeah. It's literally been out for 2 days. Shut up.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you really have to watch things real fast or else like forget it, which is mean.
Yeah. Exactly. I thought there was like at least a 1 week rule or maybe more, but apparently not. Apparently 1 hour and things are out already.
Yep. They got rid of that.
Oh yeah. There's no respect anymore for spoilers when it comes to social media. It's pretty crazy. I'm about 2/3 of the way through Lovecraft Country. On HBO Max, which is just phenomenal. Like, really, really great storytelling. I'm thrilled. Totally thrilled. Love it.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, good stuff. Let's see. So probably the big network announcement that we have is pertinent to us, pertinent to Guardians of the MCU, pertinent to MCU stuff as a whole. We have mentioned before that we're going to be doing MCU TV really, really soon. That really soon is going to be this weekend with the Marvel Studios Legends first 2 episodes coming up on Friday. The first one is going to be Wanda Maximoff, Scarlet Witch. The second episode is going to be Vision. They're releasing those at the same time. We're going to watch those, and we're really going to kick off MCU TV with what it's all about. Which is kind of reaction shows to what we see there. So we're going to talk about it. You know, don't expect a lot of news with MCU TV. We're also not doing like detailed minute-for-minute reviews of any of the shows that we're watching. We're going to talk about main themes. We're going to react to them. We're going to talk about, especially once we actually get into the dramatic series, like how things connect and that kind of stuff. So it's going to be kind of, you know, bigger picture things and you know, what we feel and just how we react to things. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Really, really looking forward to it. our logo for the show. I'd actually worked on months ago, and because of course we were expecting shows to be earlier. So that had largely been done a long time ago. I polished it up a few days ago. I will have that up on TeePublic pretty soon. So if you go to randomchatter.com/store, probably by the end of the week, I will have it up on TeePublic. The great thing is for the first 3 days that a new piece of art, which is what the logos are, the first 3 days that they're up there, there is a discount on merchandise. So keep an eye out for it. We will have, when it does go up, I will post that in our Discord channel. If you go to randomchatter.com/Discord, that is where you can kind of keep up on these things. We do have a show channel already started there for MCU TV, and we've kind of already started chatting it up and talking about what it is that we're going to be talking about and all the anticipation for that. And that's going to be a lot of fun. That's going to be a lot of fun. So that is right now, all four of us are going over to MCU TV. And the great thing is, because it's four of us, you know, we have, that gives us a lot of flexibility, just like it does here. If you know, I can't make it one night, then Sheba and Lizzie and John have the show. You know, so we're able to kind of really mix things up quite a bit. You know, hey, maybe we'll have some guest hosts pop in here and there, just like we have with Guardians of the MCU. So it's going to be good. It's going to be really good. I'm looking forward to it. We did actually just before this recording the show talk about doing some of the group watch thing on Disney Plus. And just like we have done, myself and Lou and Eric and Tom had done for episodes of The Mandalorian, recording those and putting those up as bonus content for our bonus and premium members through Patreon. So if you're interested in doing that and becoming a member at that level, that would be the $5 and on up level. Go to randomchatter.com/Patreon. I was able to tie in all those things into that.
You're amazing.
I didn't even expect to. It just happened. It's like yeah, miracles do. It's a late Christmas miracle.
Amazing.
It is.
You are a pro.
John, this is why the folks who work for you were talking me up so much yesterday.
It is, Tim.
It's those kinds of mad skills.
He is referencing, I joined a call with my team lead, and as I joined, they were all talking about Tim and how great he is and everything else. And some of the people on there know, I mean, I think everyone knows I know Tim. A couple of them know how well I know Tim and how close friends we are. And I'm like sitting there, like, I want to be like, okay, guys. I get it. You all love Tim. Can we please move on?
Just
saying, you know, maybe show me some love. I don't know.
I'm disappointed, John, that you didn't record it. Because it would have been nice, you know, maybe like I'm having a down day one day and I'm like, hey, John, you know, I'm just really kind of bummed out today. And you're like, hey, dude, I got you. And you send me that recording and like things are good. Mm-hmm.
Maybe he'll just use what he heard and repeat that and be like, remember when this person said, and then, you know, that kind of thing. Well, send it as a voice note. And then and then you have that saved forever.
Yeah.
I mean, and Tim, it was only followed up by, you know, Jamie texting me on my birthday and then talking about how he can't wait for you to come down to D.C. so he can get a beer with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, man, thanks for the birthday wish.
Is Jamie still listening to this show, by the way?
I don't know. I haven't, because, you know, distancing and everything else, I have not caught up with Jamie in a while.
He better be listening.
So Jamie, if you're still listening, great. If you're not listening, remember, I know what station you're at.
All right.
We make threats now, everybody. So just remember that.
That's right. That's right.
You remember that.
We stalk firefighters.
I mean, I do. I don't know about the rest of you.
Are you allowed, Lizzie, within like 300 feet of Chris Evans?
Yes, there has never been a restraining order. Never one.
Not in Florida.
I'm sure she knows. You're supposed to know the limit. There's like a specific line you can never cross. As long as you don't cross that one line, you're good.
That's right. That's
right. I have never crossed any lines. I only have a candle.
All right, folks. On to our news. All right, just a few news items this week. Kind of expected it to be pretty light because we are going into a bunch of MCU content. It still blows my mind that almost every single week of 2021, at least as it's scheduled right now, we are going to have something new in the MCU. That just blows my freaking mind. It's
best
crazy.
Best year ever.
I know. Especially really? Since we had nothing in 2020. They're probably like, you know what? They need all the content. We had none in 2020. We got to get it all out for 2021.
Exactly. That's Marvel Studios hooking us up. They are taking care of us. That's good job, Kevin. Thank you.
Thank you for making our 2021 much better than 2020.
Yeah.
They're like, what if we give them just everything? What if it's everything? Instead of nothing. 2020 was nothing, but what if it was everything?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Hey, what, you know, but Bob, what have you been working on? Yeah, give it to him. Give it to him.
Give it all.
It's like when Oprah was giving out, she's like, you get a car. It's like that, but like, you get Marvel. That's what it is.
Exactly, exactly.
That's what Kevin Feige was doing.
Of the MCU.
We're going to release that. You know?
They are making it rain. Kevin Feige is making it rain.
And we're not sorry, you know.
No one here is sad.
Yeah, yep, exactly.
No one should apologize for it. It's all good stuff.
Very happy.
With WandaVision coming up, we've seen some new posters coming out for it, new trailers and teasers and all sorts of things, and all sorts of different permutations.
Streaming guide thing in the mail, which was nice.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was a TV guide thing, right?
Yeah, which is really unexpected. I was like, cool.
Was there anything interesting in there, Sheba, that popped out at you?
Or is it just kind of stuff that we already knew? Yeah, it was just stuff we already knew. It was kind of going over like the timelines of what happened up until that point kind of thing. Like,
gotcha.
With Age of Ultron, Captain America. It just went through everything.
Sure.
And then just like the basics.
Yeah, so I mean, they're reeling in the casual viewer with something like that, which is good, and that's what you're going to see from a lot of this marketing is they're going to have this rapid fire stuff in little bits and pieces. Now it's going to be really broad based. They're going to try to get as many people as possible. It's going to be, I think, really impressive. Avengers Campus, Disney Parks announced that Avengers Campus is going to be set to open sometime this year. It was supposed to open last year, obviously. I think, in May? Lizzie, you'd probably know. Yeah, back in May. Obviously, it didn't because of the pandemic. They have not actually said when this year it's going to open. Of course, you know, based on kind of what we expect for our timeline of the pandemic vis-a-vis vaccinations, I would say like late summer, maybe. You know, hopefully they're probably counting on, hey, we can still kind of catch part of summer vacation if people want to come. Of course, this is out in California. John and I were actually hoping to both see it last year. I was going to be out there for Star Wars Celebration. I was going to go out a few days early. And John, I think you had a family vacation set for like a week or two before that, right?
Yeah, we were close to overlapping.
Yeah, fairly close. I think just missing each other by a few days.
Yeah, and we'll still go. I mean, fingers crossed, things opening. I mean, LA is a hot, hot mess right now. Be able to get out there still to go see family and hopefully see, you know, some of the parks and everything else. I mean, I'd love to see it back open, but, you know, everyone needs to be safe.
Yeah, definitely. With Star Wars Celebration being postponed to 2022, that is probably when I will get out there. I pretty much have the same plans. You know, get out there a few days early, spend some time at Star Wars Galaxy's Edge and an Avengers Campus. and you know, take those in before the con actually starts. You can't do that kind of stuff after a con because cons are freaking exhausting.
Oh, they're so
absolutely exhausting. You're on your feet
yeah.
all day, every day. There may be
barely eating.
Yeah. You're not eating, and what you're eating, it's not like, you know, healthy food. And then there's usually a fair quantity of alcohol involved. It's like you're so glad that you did it, but the day after, well, you'll sleep for like 3 days afterwards straight. It's bonkers, especially big cons like that. So, very much looking forward to it, and you know, and then you know, if, plus Mud Trooper boots are really really painful. So spending a day in those is gonna suck. So. Amazingly, and actually we went through on Random Chatter this weekend, we went through the most anticipated releases for 2021. And of course, dates are subject to change. To be completely honest, I think that anything between now and June is probably subject to change, whether they will postpone it again, if it hasn't already been postponed, or... do something where, you know, hey, they're saying they're going to put it out in theaters like Scarlet,
Black Widow.
Thank you. Like Black Widow. And I'm still predicting that like a month before that release, Disney's going to say, yeah, we're just going to move it to Disney Plus. We'll do a premium on demand thing.
They have to pay
$30 or something.
They keep pushing it back. Further and further, it's
At this point, just give it to us.
Yeah, it just feels irresponsible to force a date just to get it in the theater. I get why, but like, no.
I agree.
And I agree. It would be so much fun to see it in theaters, and it would be an experience. But totally. If it's not safe out, then you know, unless you're willing to wait a lot longer. I mean, it's not a bad option to just stream it online. So
yeah. Yeah, I just agree.
I just wonder if they're going to go that route, why continue to push? I mean, and I always said it was going to, we'd hear my guess in the next couple of weeks. I think they're still waiting to see what the Wonder Woman numbers really look like.
Yeah, but even that, like, they're not going to be even close to what was normal. So like,
not completely at all.
Skewed as far as like, you know, Mulan numbers and Tenet numbers, and like all of that, like we're in a different world. So like,
exactly.
I don't know, operating in under normal parameters with quote unquote is stupid to me. Honestly, it's very dumb.
Cause, and for all you know, even if they do release it in theaters and people are either going to go and it's not going to be safe for them to go, or they won't go at all because they're afraid of getting sick. So they might not see the numbers that they want to regardless.
Yep. Oh, so, yeah.
Very true.
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to see it in a theater, but it ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
It is not going to happen. So along that whole list of films for 2021, and of course, this isn't MCU proper, but having to do still with Marvel stuff over on the Sony side, Morbius is still set for a March release, and Venom Let There Be Carnage is still set for a June release, both of those in theaters. Now, Sony doesn't have they don't have their own streaming service, and they don't have a service that they have like partnered with. Maybe we'll see that change, or they could do kind of what Universal did early on in the pandemic when they put out Invisible Man. You just basically got it on video on demand from whoever your provider was, from like your cable provider or your dish provider or whatever.
And I think the same thing with Trolls. You could have just gone to their website and just rented it straight from there. Or YouTube again. So
YouTube, iTunes, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
There's a few options out there.
So, I mean, very similar to what we were talking about with Black Widow. I'm really hoping that those films do some kind of streaming release for those time periods, but
especially Morbius, since March seems way too soon.
Yeah. Yeah, it really does.
We're all waiting with bated breath for Morbius, so.
I know I'm in the minority on this. I mean, I've been a big fan of Morbius in the comics for a long time.
Oh no, Morbius is a cool character. I'm just Sony okay. and their
cool character. Ain't no one waiting for this movie.
No, I know Sony and their Marvel content is very sketch to begin with. So, you know. If it was maybe Marvel proper releasing it, I'd be like, all right, we'll see. But
of course, because they know how to market a movie. But like, what's Zumax doing with it?
It's true.
They're just trying.
It's true.
Love their hearts. I've seen it.
They're trying. They're doing what they can. They wanna run with the big folks up there.
Yeah.
Sony, I'm for you. I just have questions. Okay. That's what I'm not saying. I'm for you, but also
just,
no.
Just give me more into the Spider-Verse and I'll be happy. You know, that's all I need. More of that.
This is true. This is true. So Scott Derrickson, who directed the first Doctor Strange movie, he was slated to direct the second one and he ended up dropping. It was kind of one of those quote creative differences types of remarks that he gave with it. He says that he had apparently planned on using the character Nightmare as the antagonist in Doctor Strange 2. And Nightmare, while not the most prominent of Doctor Strange's nemesis, whatever the plural of nemesis is. Well, he's not the most prominent. He was actually one of Doctor Strange's first, and he persists. In fact, just two nights ago, I was reading a fairly new comic that had a collection of different stories in it, and one of the threads that went through it was a thing between Doctor Strange and Nightmare. Mm-hmm. So. Even though we have a new director, maybe Nightmare is still going to be the antagonist in Doctor Strange 2. Don't know. If he is, it could certainly make sense. I mean, we don't know who the antagonist is. We know there's going to be this multiverse thing, but what's going to cause it? What's going to trigger it? Nightmare gets into people's psyches and that kind of stuff. And then as I was reading some different things on this, there's kind of some thought toward, well, wait a minute, is Nightmare maybe even going to have some influence in WandaVision? So that's kind of the extra push with Wanda, that even though she's been psychologically cracking, is there going to be something else that's going to kind of really, really push her through? Or are they just going to kind of take the easy plot line, which I wouldn't knock them for, but are they just going to take the easy plot line of basically her mental health just continues to erode and erode? What do you guys think?
I mean, I know that they are saying that they have been saying that WandaVision is going to lead into Doctor Strange too. So if that is the case and Nightmare is involved, then that would kind of make sense why it's leading right into Doctor Strange how they could be connected. So I wouldn't be surprised if they did that.
Yeah.
That's just my two cents.
Any other thoughts? Do we like Nightmare? Do we not like Nightmare? What's that, John?
I'm looking something up real quick.
Okay.
Sorry.
John's researching.
I have no thoughts.
Okay. All right. That's all good. That's all good.
Yeah.
I just don't know, like, when a director changes hands like that. I think it makes sense given the darker nature, but those are the only thoughts I have.
Yeah, and I mean, Scott Derrickson, he seemed, while he was still, reasonably civil and such in social media, there kind of seemed to be an undertone of him just kind of being pissed off at Marvel Studios. and it's interesting because we really haven't seen that creative differences thing come like that really hasn't come up much in a Marvel property though, because they've been very big on allowing writers and directors to basically chart their own course.
Yeah, but yeah. When it comes up, like, they also are really good about, like, not letting it dominate the news cycle. So, like, the Joss Whedon stuff and the Edgar Wright disagree, like, the fact that Edgar Wright was writing Ant-Man and then all of that broke down. Like,
oh, I forgot about that, yeah.
It has happened. I just don't think we see it as much. I mean, the Terrence Howard thing is switching to Don Cheadle. Freaking Edward Norton thing. Like, there's, I think, a lot of them. It's just, like, a matter of Marvel knowing how to, like, then switch the narrative to, like, kind of make sure you're spinning the positive. They're very good at. Yeah. For all the negatives and positives that that creates for either a creative or for an audience that really likes the director. I was very excited about Edgar Wright because I love me some Coronado trilogy. Love.
Sure, sure. John, were you researching something pertinent to this?
I was.
Okay.
I was actually trying to the comments on Nightmare and, you know, whether that made sense. It made me think of the Shadow King, similar, you know, kind of astral plane. I was just wondering if because he's had run-ins, he's more of a X-Men type of villain, but was just, my first thought was like, oh, if they could do something with that, because then, you know, loose ties to the X-Men, not a lot of connections there.
I tried to Google, oh, sorry, go ahead, John.
I think the kind of the brief read up of like kind of the history, I think if they put Nightmare in as someone who is exploiting they can't discount the mental health issues that Wanda is having, but to kind of prey on them, and it sounds like he can kind of draw power to a degree off of that.
Yes. That's his jam.
So, I mean, they kind of have him kind of revealed, I'd say almost right at kind of the end or something along to it, would certainly make sense and kind of give into the quote-unquote horror aspect that we heard with Doctor Strange 2.
I tried to look up, like, Wanda and Nightmare to see, like, what connections were there in the comics and things, just to see what they could maybe do. And they said that the history of, they were talking and referring to Earth 616, Scarlet Witch. And so that reality was invaded by Nightmare of the Prime Marvel Universe and was seen fighting several of Nightmare's minions alongside Doctor Strange. Mm. And that's all that I could find with that connection, really. I mean, besides digging deeper. So maybe that's how it might connect into the Doctor Strange multiverse storyline.
Yeah.
He's talking about Earth 617 instead of Earth 616.
Yeah, interesting.
I guess I find myself very eager to, like, reconnect with the characters since we, like, all the characters that we already know, because we've spent so much time apart from them. And the last time we met them, it was a little stressful. I think I, like, just need to, like, know how everyone is before I even, like, think of or try to get invested in some new person.
That's fair. Which makes
sense in the timeline that they're starting with Wanda and they're starting with Falcon and Winter Soldier. They're starting with Black Widow. All of these known sort of situations. And, like, catching us up, letting us say goodbye,
easing us in.
Reintroducing us to where everyone's at. And then, sure, we're going to build up to villains and, like, other things are going to happen. But, like, I need to know how my people are. I'm worried about my people. Like, I think that's, where my mind is at. Yeah.
Steve's an old man.
Got it. Listen. Okay? Shush. And also, be quiet.
No, that's
a comic book. It's comics. They come back all the time, yeah, whether they're old or not.
I don't want them to come back. But I just want to know how the rest of my people are doing. I'm worrying for them.
No, that's really good point, Lizzie. And you know, even absent the pandemic, it seemed that they were kind of, that's the direction that they were going in. So it kind of turns out to be serendipitous for us that we have had such a long break. And now we do get to, we get to ease back into it. We get a taste of the familiar while still advancing the story. Yeah. That's a really good point. That's a really good point. So apparently before Fox was purchased by Disney, the director of the Jason Bourne series, Paul Greengrass, was in talks with Fox to do a big movie. And this was going to be an X-Men and Fantastic Four movie. And apparently from what Greengrass had said, he was guesting on a podcast, not ours, not quite sure why. he said that the discussions of this had it being a versus style movie where, you know, they would be squaring off over something. You know, he said they talked about it. And in the end, obviously nothing happened. Right. With how he left it, it kind of seems to be that even if Fox were still to maintain their autonomy, if the sale to Disney never happened, that they weren't going to be doing it. It would have been awesome to see. And of course, when we look at something like Civil War, like we know that can be done. You know, they can do it so long as they lead up to it with a really great story.
Right.
To quote my friend Wade, which Fantastic Four and which X-Men were they going to use?
Timelines are so confusing.
That's a clear Fantastic Four that they would choose, by the way. Okay. One of them doesn't count.
Yeah.
That is a very fair question, John. A very fair question.
All this stuff has been in the same universe, so there's no confusion about, like, one counting or not counting. All of the X-Men count.
Right. But it's basically the when. So, I mean, you know, that we take that for the grain of salt that it was, that it doesn't seem that it was even going to happen in the first place. But it's cool that they were thinking about it. And it makes me even more excited, even though all it is talk. Really, at this point, it makes me even more excited that we're going to be getting mutants, that we're going to be getting the Fantastic Four coming into the MCU and what they're going to be doing with them.
Yeah. Well, and I don't remember if we talked about it here or it was just other kind of news and rumor floating around that, you know, of whether or not the X-Men will kind of come in as antagonists to the Avengers. I mean, do they set something? I mean, you know, you got to imagine there's going to be some level of friction because, you know, new superhero teams on the block, regardless of who they are. You know, I think there's, you know, I don't want to see all out conflict. I'd like to see, or not like Civil War type conflict. I'd like to see some like friction of like, hey, like, where were you guys? We saved the world multiple times. You know, maybe lead up one day to some level of team ups. But I mean, you know, I think, you know, it'd be silly to think, you know, they're instantly all going to be friends.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
I mean, look at the original Avengers movie, you know, the first time Iron Man met Thor.
Yeah, there was a lot of tension there, so.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, I mean, we can even, again, drawing back on comic book roots, how often is it that, you know, you would go to the comic store and you'd be perusing what they have there and you see the cover of, you know, an X-Men thing and it's, oh my, you know, Wolverine versus Deadpool. Yeah. And oh wow, that's going to be really cool. And you know, you buy it and you bring it home, and yeah, there's two pages of a disagreement over who's going to get the last banana.
And they become best friends forever.
Well, I mean, Deadpool becomes best friends with everyone. Well, Wolverine, sure. So much.
Yeah, so it's like
so funny.
So many times, like that's how they, you know, would do things, especially with heroes. That, you know, they have this little bit of friction because they're both going after the same bad guy. Maybe one of them wants to kill him, the other one wants to have him arrested, or you know, whatever that story is, gives them some conflict. Yeah, they very quickly resolve that conflict, and then they're working together. You know, or they part ways or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so we could very well have something like that, too, where the there is an initial conflict, like you said, Sheba, because of some different ideology. But then they eventually resolve that. So,
I mean, and like John was saying, it happened in Avengers. It also happened when the Guardians met up with Iron Man. There was, you know, communication there. And so.
What master do you serve?
Even in Civil War, they're like bantering across the battlefield at each other, like best friends who have to fight for this dumb reason. But like we all love each other, but like we'll fight right now, but then we'll make up later. So like when it's all heroes fighting heroes, like you kind of know where it's going to be going. Once you find out they're the good guys.
Very true.
Exactly.
Let's see, before we get into our profile, which John is doing Riri Williams, Ironheart, which I'm really, really excited about. Thank you, John, for picking her. The one bit of rumor that we have is that Joseph Gordon-Levitt has apparently met with Marvel Studios sometime over the last few weeks. Great actor. He's in so many good things. He has such an incredible range of stuff. I'd love to see him in the MCU. Of course, who knows what he's going to do or, you know, who he's going to be. But I think he'd be a terrific addition to him.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I agree with all those statements. Fantastic actor. He's super talented, you know, not just in acting. He can sing, dance, do a whole bunch of stuff. So Marvel could use him for literally anything. Yeah, literally anything.
I'm hoping they're minimizing the singing and dancing in an MCU film. But
absolutely not.
Wait, you don't want a Marvel musical?
Gosh, that's all we want.
No.
Waiting for that moment.
It can't be wrong.
Listen, Marvel singing. What else do you need?
I will tell you, we didn't talk about it because it was apparently only released in the Chinese market last month, and obviously did not involve any. It was like a spin-off Marvel Studios thing. It didn't involve any of the actors or any of that we know. There was some kind of a musical that they did. in China, that was MCU related. I'd be interesting in seeing that if someone can dig that up somewhere. Ideally subtitled, but even if it isn't, I still think it's gonna be fantastic to watch.
I want a full production.
It's probably glorious. I mean, if the indication of like Japanese Spider-Man, like anything that is outside of the, they like to, you know, draw outside the color outside the lines kind of thing, I'm all for it. It's probably some wonderful campy thing.
Yeah.
No.
I've got a family friend that one of my wife's former students he's Chinese. I know he's back in China now. Actually a friend of the podcast who she lives locally here to me. Found out last year she can apparently speak Mandarin. Who knew?
You know, got to send you that so we can see it.
Blonde-haired white girl, and she can speak Mandarin, which is just freaking awesome. So, So if that comes up, like, I'm going to need someone to, like, again, if it's not subtitled, I got to know. I got to at least know, like, what the story's about.
I'm trying to Google. Don't worry.
Yeah.
I would like a musical.
That is someone's homework.
Actually, majority, like the most of them, can sing.
Yeah, all I'm seeing is something about a like Marvel Studios released. It's a New Year's Eve musical show.
Yes. Yep.
So that's the main thing I'm finding, but
which is really odd because it may have been like New Year's Eve for much of the world, but the Chinese calendar is completely different.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Funny. What a weird choice.
Yeah. Yeah. It really is. It really is.
Yeah.
I love it. I hashtag love it, but I'm also confused.
John. Riri Yo Williams. Honey.
Give it to us.
Ironheart. Give it all to us. We want it.
All right. So.
Wait a minute. Lizzie, did you call him Johan?
Did. I did call him that. I called him Johan. Okay. I did it. I did that one. You're welcome. Keep going.
All right. So as someone who wasn't the biggest fan of bringing Riri in as Iron Man's successor.
Why you hate happiness?
Because I wanted Shuri, I wanted different options. So anyway, I used this as an opportunity to learn a little bit more about Ironheart, because I honestly did not know that much about her. And some interesting comparisons to Tony Stark, and well, depending on which fictional history you use for Tony Stark. But anyway, she grew up in Chicago. Her father died before she was born, so she was raised by her mom and stepfather. So you've got family loss common in the history. Mm-hmm. At 5 years old, she was diagnosed and certified as a super genius. After they noticed some kind of behavioral, kind of issues with her. She got some specialized help, but she really began to withdraw within herself and tinkering in her parents' garage and inventing things. She wanted to invent tools for superheroes. At age 11, she was accepted with full scholarship into MIT. But at age 13, her only friend and her stepfather were killed in a drive-by shooting. They were not the targets. It was, wrong place, wrong time type of thing. That really hit her hard and drove her to create her first suit of armor, both as a protection for her and wanting to protect others. So she did this by reverse engineering technology from an old Iron Man suit, the Mark 41, which the Mark 41 has appeared in the MCU. It was an Iron Man 3. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, the Mark 41 was a much more lighter suit, like weight-wise, than the other suits, and designed for speed and flexibility. Which would fit with Ironheart. So she started creating her own prototype version using this armor and stolen materials from MIT. Security caught her and noticed her doing this. So she decided to don the armor and fly away. During her flight, she made it to from MIT over to New Mexico, where she witnessed a prison break. She stopped the prison break, apprehended the two prisoners, but in the process damaged her armor. She was able to get back to Chicago, where she continued to work to repair her suit. But her actions got the attention of Tony Stark, who was still alive at this time. She, as you mentioned, characters die and come back to life all the time in comics. So at this point in time in the Marvel comics, Tony was still alive. Mm-hmm. So he went and visited her, talked with her, and endorsed her desire to become a hero. She actually used a repaired version of her prototype suit and fought on Iron Man's side during Civil War II. So in the end of Civil War II, Tony Stark fell into a coma. Didn't die, but was certainly not around. So this is an impressive list. So Pepper Potts, Mary Jane Watson, Friday, an AI version of Tony Stark. He downloaded his consciousness into an AI, which we have talked about. And Tony Stark's biological mother, important to note, at some point in the comics, it turned out that the Starks were, Tony was adopted. They were not his biological parents, but that's a rabbit hole that we're not going to go into.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a whole thing.
Yeah. they are, they invite Riri to the Hall of Armor, Tony's lab, essentially. And Riri really demonstrates her knowledge and the specifics of all of the Iron Man armors, really the ins and outs of it. It's at that point that Tony's mother offers Tony's lab to her to continue her work to be a hero and kind of continue Tony's legacy. Riri is hesitant to do it, but it's actually Pepper who encourages her to accept the offer. So this is when she kind of decides to take on Tony's legacy, and with the AI of Tony, creates an improved suit of armor, and that's when she took on the alias of Ironheart. She started to go out and do different missions, actually often teaming with Rescue, Pepper Potts.
Mm-hmm.
And this caught the attention of both Tony's allies and Tony's enemies. It's also when S.H.I.E.L.D. began kind of keeping an eye on Riri as well. She used her new fame quite well. MIT approached her and offered her their resources. To continue her work, the teenage superhero group, the Champions, invited her to join their ranks. So things are going pretty well for her. So this is one, it gets into her role in different major comic storylines, which, you know, I think don't deal too much with the MCU. I think we'll see her kind of taking up mantle most of Tony's enemies they kind of killed in the comics or in the movies, I'm sorry. So not sure what they'll do with that, maybe a Young Avengers, you know, kind of tie-in, but certainly a lot of possibilities. Definitely could see, you know, her finding some discarded Iron Man tech or something. We've certainly seen in a lot of the movies that, you know, the stuff ends up lying around somewhere, and the same thing where Pepper kind of approaches her and kind of does the mantle passing. But I did pull this last little tidbit out specifically for Tim. So S.H.I.E.L.D., early on in her career, S.H.I.E.L.D. convinced her to invade Latveria. Latveria, Tim, is...
That is the home of Dr. Doom and the
yes.
the land which he reigns over.
Yeah.
Quite benevolently, I might add.
Mm-hmm.
Universal health care. No one is repressed. No one is homeless. Goodness. Everyone has food. He takes care of his people.
He would
take care of the entire world if people would just let him run the world.
Well, so she went in to take down a war criminal, Lucia von Bardas, mm-hmm.
yep.
Who was the prime minister for Victor von Doom. So this was actually interesting. So she defeated von Bardas and declared herself the new monarch of Latveria.
Really? I did not know that.
Yeah. So she then negotiated a truce between S.H.I.E.L.D. and the country's armed forces.
That's wild.
I love it.
And she abdicated the monarchy and to pave the way for their first free elections. I was like, that's amazing. A weird fun little tidbit about her.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I need to find whatever run of comics that was in, because that is wild. I want to read that.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
I saw that and I was like, I got to include this one for Tim.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
He's a BAMF, man.
Yeah. So she is a former monarch queen? Of, I guess, queen, of Laveria. So,
I mean, it goes very well. Like, I mean, if she is kind of like Tony Stark, or idolizes Tony Stark. I mean, it's something that Tony would himself do. So, if she would
100%
kind of,
do that.
Yeah, if she's totally like knows everything about Tony, it's totally skin character for me, for her.
No, and I think we've already seen with Peter, and whether they bring Happy, in. I mean, I think Marvel will let Jon Favreau do whatever the hell he wants from here on out.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
To what he's done with Mandalorian.
Yeah. You know what
I mean? If Happy wants to become the new Iron Man, I think they'll be like, I mean, fine.
Sure.
Whatever.
We don't get it.
Just keep making Mandalorian for us.
Yeah.
But some level of, you saw it with, Peter had Friday, and the AI in his suit.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen when Tony actually uploads Friday that he had a whole stash of AIs. I think still in my dream world, it's Robert Downey Jr. coming back to do the voice for it.
In a Jarvis-esque manner.
In a Paul Bellamy Jarvis-esque manner.
Yeah.
Even if it's just initially and then she gets a new AI. Mm-hmm. But I mean, certainly, seeing, kind of elements, of that. And I could see, thinking again, weirdly back to Spider-Man, and the first one, I'm drawing a blank on the name of that one.
Homecoming.
With Vulture.
Yeah.
Homecoming. Where they had all the tech from, the invasion, finding leftover suit parts from after Iron Man 3 or something else, like something, that gives her enough to tinker with to do a few things. Tim, do we know timeline wise between this and Armor War? Because that'd also be a logical tie in as well.
They're supposed to be pretty close to each other. It's expected they're going to be close to each other in release. They didn't give any dates for either one of them, but
you would have to assume with the announcement between now, she was not involved in Armor War as far as I know. I think that was before her time.
Correct.
But also a great way to tie in her, depending on the timeline, whether she helps, War Machine, or if basically she's kind of, that's part of her origin story.
Right.
It would certainly make a lot of sense to tie the two together.
Yeah. Yeah, it really would. And John, you're not so far off base with the whole Tony being the AI thing. There was, it was part of the storyline that involved Doom actually taking the Iron Man mantle after one of Tony's deaths. And in that, Riri was in that storyline and she had the armor. And it was almost kind of like an Edith thing, from Far From Home, Even Dead, I'm the Hero, where Tony talked to Spider-Man through the glasses. Mm-hmm. He basically did the same thing in the suit, talking to Riri and like coaching her through certain things and that kind of, so it was you're not so far off. You're not so far off. It could certainly happen. It could absolutely happen. So,
What I kind of like with, like, obviously we're not going to get a Tony Riri relationship in the way that maybe it happened in the comics, but, I think like her idolization of him could obviously carry over, but I would like to see, like, her and Rhodey have sort of like the movie version of her and Tony's relationship in the comics, because I think that that would just, he would be such a wonderful like mentor to her, and also the connection to Tony that like you wouldn't need to have Tony there for, but it would still like create those links that happen in the comics without actually having to have them on screen.
Yeah.
But like you'd get the threads of that by her having a relationship with Rhodey, which I think would be so beautiful.
Yeah.
And like Rhodey sort of like passing on his relationship with Tony to Riri, who maybe had idolized him and like was inspired by him, God tech somehow or whatever, however they're going to bring that in. Yeah. I think that would be so beautiful.
And Rhodey is obviously so much more stable and grounded than Tony was. And I mean, he's just, you know, he doesn't have that bluster. And of course, the bluster is why we love Tony. But I agree, Lizzie. I think that would be a good relationship. And I expect that we'll see it again, because I really think that she's going to be in Armor Wars in some fashion.
So. And I would hope.
Yeah.
And especially with the rumors going on lately about Robert Downey Jr. returning for Armored Wars and stuff. So, you know, that's been going around everywhere being like, oh, yeah, Robert Downey Jr. is going to come back because everything else he's been working on hasn't been going so well. And, you know,
coming back.
Yeah, that's one of those rumors that I'm really doubtful of.
I don't want it to be true, like at all. I don't want it at all.
I don't think he's going to come back. I mean, it might be an AI form he might come back in, but there are rumors, so who knows.
All right, John, take us out of here, buddy.
As always, folks, please send us your feedback, your questions, comments, and concerns. You can always reach us over at guardians@randomchatter.com, and of course over on the Discord.
You can also find us on Twitter at Random Chatter, or on Instagram at Random Chatter. Individually, if you don't know who we are by now, you probably never will. So thanks for listening.
Hey, that works. Folks, thanks for joining us again this week. We're excited to be seeing you again, or you're listening to us, I guess, again, in a few days on MCU TV. So keep a lookout for that. MCU TV episode number one, we will have that on the main Random Chatter feed, and it will also have its own feed. So looking forward to that. Otherwise, we will catch you later. Take care.